We encourage you this morning to get your Bible out and follow along. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to talk about being in Christ this morning. Paul talked to the Corinthians about being new creatures in Christ, or a new creation in Christ. I want to start reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 14. Verse 14 of this chapter, Paul writes and says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we will regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Paul tells the Corinthians, you know, we don't look at you the way we did before you were Christians. No one should. Because it doesn't matter what you did before you became a Christian. When you're in Christ, that's gone, and you're a new creation. And along with that, it doesn't matter what advantages or disadvantages you had in this world. When you became a Christian, all that went away, and you became a new creature, a new creation. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning about the benefit of being in Christ. What does it mean to be a new creature or a new creation? What does Jesus Christ have to offer us? And really, what are the blessings of being in Christ? I want to look at a few points here this morning, and every one of them have this phrase, "in Christ," in the passage that we're looking at. And so we're looking at the blessings of being in Christ. Number one, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we see that redemption is found in Christ. Let's back up and look at verse 23 with this verse. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Now this text tells us that we've all sinned. Everyone who has had an age of accountability, everyone who knows right from wrong, has chosen to do wrong at some point. So we've all sinned. And we stand, if you will, with the language of this verse, we're in a courtroom setting. And we stand before the judge condemned. We're guilty of sin. But what Paul says is that through the grace of God, in verse 24, we are justified. Now, to be justified, that would have been a legal term in that day. That means you are acquitted, that you are pronounced not guilty. But I am guilty. I have my sins. But because of the grace of God, God is able to pronounce you not guilty. God is able to justify you or say that you are innocent of those charges. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What does redemption mean? Simply put, to redeem something is to buy it back. If you take something to the pawn shop and you pawn it there, you've got so many days that you can come back and you can redeem it. That is, you can buy it out of pawn. When we committed our first sin, God lost us. He lost us to Satan. He lost us to the world. Sin separates us from God. In order for God to have us back, he has to pay the redemption price. And the redemption price is death. The redemption price is blood. Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 14. Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." The price that has to be paid in order for God to redeem us or to buy us back is the shedding of perfect blood. And Jesus Christ did just that. In the passage we had read for us at the table just a few moments ago, Brother Jason read Matthew chapter 20 and at verse 28, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for all." That ransom was paid when Jesus died on the cross. Paul puts it this way in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed." When Jesus died on the cross, that redemption price was paid, and God could buy us back. God could justify us. He could forgive us of our sins, and He could buy us back. Paul talks about us as being a bought people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We are a bought people. We are redeemed people, but only in Christ. In Christ, we have this redemption. In Christ, we have forgiveness. In Christ, we have this justification. But this is a great blessing that's found in Christ. You go just another page in the book of Romans to chapter 6 and verse 23. We see also that in Christ, we have eternal life. Paul writes and says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In order for us to appreciate eternal life, we need to look at its opposite here. We need to look at the contrast, and the contrast is death. What is death? Well, we all understand what death is. Those who are old enough to understand the things that I'm saying, you've lost somebody. We've all lost someone through death. We understand what death is. The Bible defines death as a separation. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "The body without the spirit is dead." So death is a separation. But the death that is talked about here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, is a spiritual death. You see, when we sin, we said that God lost us. We were separated from God. That's spiritually we're dead. Spiritually speaking, now physically we're alive, we're walking around and everything's going as normal, but spiritually we're separated from God. Spiritually we're dead. That's bad enough in this life. But if we die physically while being in a state of spiritual separation from God, then we're destined to an eternal hell. In the book of Revelation at chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, "Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." What's the first death? The first death is to be separated from our physical bodies. The second death is to be separated from God for all of eternity. Now that is what eternal life is contrasted with. The wages of sin is death. That death, that second death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That gift is available to us. That hope, that living hope of being in heaven with God for all of eternity is given to us, but only in Christ. Only in Christ. As we go on through the New Testament, we see that in Christ we have sanctification. In Christ we are sanctified. In the book of 1 Corinthians, at chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." Paul writes to this church and says that they are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now the word sanctified, or to be a saint, simply means one who is set apart, one who is set aside. You take the whole, you take the group of everyone, and you pull some aside and set them off separate from the others. That's the idea of sanctified. Again, let's look at things spiritually. Not physically, but look at things spiritually. When we are saved, when we are redeemed, when we are justified, when our sins are forgiven, in that process of being saved, we are also sanctified. Spiritually speaking, we are separated from the sinful world, and we are put in Christ. The saved are collected together in Christ as God's own people. The idea behind this word as it's used in the Bible, sanctification, is more than just being separated. It's the idea of being cleansed and being set apart for a special purpose. That's the idea of sanctification. You see, when you become a Christian, you do become a special person. And that doesn't mean that Christians need to look down their noses at others. That's not the case at all. We need to be the most humble of all people. But to God, we are special people because we have been set aside by God Himself for Himself. We are a special people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2. We are sanctified. We are set apart to the glory of God. Something else that is found in Christ is liberty. True liberty, true freedom is found only in Christ. In Galatians chapter 2 and at verse 4, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul writes about an experience that he had with some who were Judaizing teachers. That is, some who were teaching these Gentile Christians that they had to become Jews and then they could become Christians. And that's not what Paul preached. He preached that the gospel was for all and one simply needed to come unto Christ from where they were. They didn't have to become a Jew first. But there were some who were pressing that idea on others. Paul writes about them and says in verse 4, Galatians 2, 4, "And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." See, one of the themes of the book of Galatians is that we are free in Christ, that we have liberty in Christ. Now, some of our religious friends and neighbors like to go to the book of Galatians to try to press the point that we are saved by faith only. That is, in Jesus Christ, we are free from the law. We are free from being bound by those requirements, and we're just saved by faith only. Well, number one, faith only isn't taught anywhere in the book of Galatians. And for that matter, it isn't found anywhere in the Bible. Secondly, the point of the book of Galatians, these verses have to be kept in context. As we said, the point of the book of Galatians is that false teachers were teaching, no, these Gentiles had to become Jews, they had to keep the law of Moses, then they could become Christians. And Paul writes to him and says, no, that's not what I taught you. I taught you that you were free in Christ, free from that law of Moses, free from having to keep that law. Look in chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." That's the law of Moses. It was a yoke of bondage. Paul says so right here in Galatians 5. Peter says the same thing about the law in Acts chapter 15. It was a yoke which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. So the liberty, the freedom that is offered in Galatians is freedom from the law of Moses. It's not freedom from any law, and it certainly isn't freedom from accountability to God. It's freedom from the law of Moses. But let me tell you, Christ offers us freedom from more than just the law of Moses. Turn with me to John chapter 8. I want to show you this passage. In John chapter 8, we've already talked about how in Christ we have redemption. That is, we have the forgiveness of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. That forgiveness of sins gives us freedom from sin, freedom from the bondage of sin, and freedom from the penalty of sin. John chapter 8, starting at verse 31, down through verse 36. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered Him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Free from what? Free from sin. Remember again that this illustration of sanctified. We are a body of people who have been cleansed from the sins of the world and have been set aside, separate for God. We are at liberty. We are free from the law of Moses. We are free from sin. We are free from the false doctrines and philosophies of men. In Christ, we are free from these things. Outside of Christ, we're in bondage to sin. We still have our sin. And in Ephesians, at chapter 1, we see that in reality,
Every spiritual blessing is available and is only available in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You see that? Every spiritual blessing. Every would be all of them. All of the blessings that are available are only available in Christ. And then Paul goes on to talk about some of these blessings. In verse 4 of this chapter, we are chosen in Christ. We are chosen not as individuals, but as a group of individuals who have had faith, who have shown faith in Christ and have received God's salvation through that faith. We are adopted as sons in Christ. Verse 6, we are accepted. That is, we are found acceptable to God in Christ. Let's go back to that redemption. We're justified, not guilty. We're sanctified. I'll take him as my people. You see, we are accepted in him. Verse 7 tells us that we have the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 5:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have an inheritance in verse 11, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That is, in the spiritual realm, we have that seal, we have that identifying marker that identifies us as being sanctified, set apart, belonging unto God. But it's only in Jesus Christ. Only in Him do we have these great blessings. So, let's look. Let's kind of back up a little bit, and let's look at the blessings that are found in Christ. In Christ, and only in Christ, do we have redemption. Only in Christ can we be pronounced not guilty because our sins have been washed away in the blood of Christ. Only in Christ do we have a hope of eternal life. Only in Christ are we sanctified or set apart as God's special possession. Only in Christ do we have liberty and freedom. And only in Christ do we have every spiritual blessing. If we're outside of Christ, there's no redemption possible. There's no forgiveness that's found outside of Jesus Christ. Or you can serve all these other gods that the world has to offer with all your might. There is no forgiveness of sins. And there is no hope of eternal life outside of Christ. There is no sanctification. There is no liberty. And there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. So we go through this so that I can impress upon you, as the Scriptures impress upon all of us, the importance of being in Christ. Because unless we're in Christ, we have access to none of these blessings. So the obvious question arises, how do we get into Christ? How do we get into Christ? Because that's the only place where these blessings are found. I want to tell you that God has made a way for us to get into Christ. But that's the only way that we have to get into Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 says of Jesus that he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We can't make up our own way into Christ. We can't decide for ourselves we want these blessings without Christ. And we can't decide for ourselves how we get into Christ. The only way that we can get into Christ is the way that God has prepared for us. So as we open up our Bibles and we look, how does one get into Christ? Well, to start, you have to hear the Word. You have to hear the Gospel. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to hear what you've been listening to right now. The Word of God, the Gospel, tell you about your sin, tell you about your need for redemption, tell you about the hope of eternal life. Tell you how you can have every spiritual blessing. You must hear the Word. Secondly, you've got to believe what that Word tells you, especially about Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John, the Gospel of John, at chapter 20, John chapter 20, and at verses 30 and 31, John writes and says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. The Bible never claims to record everything that Jesus did and taught. The Bible claims to have recorded enough for us to have faith. Enough for us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that in believing in Him, we can have eternal life. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we can have eternal life. But I tell you, if we believe Jesus and we believe He's the Son of God, aren't we going to listen to what He has to say? Aren't we going to do what He tells us to do? Well, as we read on in our New Testament, we find that Jesus Himself taught that we must repent of our sins. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Repent or perish." Now there's that choice. Do you want eternal life or do you want death, the wages of sin? Jesus says in this passage, the one thing that decides between the two is not our faith, it's repentance. We can repent of our sins or we can die in our sins. We've already talked about what happens if we die in our sins. We perish eternally. So we've got to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn. To turn away from sin, to turn away from self, to turn away from error. Whatever it is that's keeping us out of Christ, turn away from that and come into Christ. Paul preached in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, "Truly the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." So we must repent of our sins. But the Scriptures also teach the next step that we have to take is confession. We have to confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart concerning Jesus being the Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We must confess with the mouth. We must own Jesus openly before others, just as He died on the cross openly for us all. Now notice the text says that we confess unto salvation. We're not there yet, but we're unto it. We're on our way. What is the last step? What must we do in order to be in Christ? Well, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 teaches so plainly that we are baptized into Christ. Galatians at chapter 3, verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How do we get into Christ? Well, we've got to believe. But the Bible doesn't teach anywhere that we believe our way into Christ. We've got to repent. We must confess. But nowhere does the Bible teach that those actions put us into Christ. We know that prayer is important, but I can't read in here anywhere where someone prays their way into Christ. I don't even read where anyone can pay their way into Christ. But I do read this passage here that tells us that we are baptized into Christ. Eternal life is offered by God on His own terms. There are great blessings that are found in Christ. But the only way that we can get into Christ is by taking the steps that God has made available for us to get into Christ. So I'll close this morning by asking a simple question. Are you in Christ? And the simple question has a simple answer. You can look and see whether you're in Christ or not. And if you haven't taken the steps that are necessary to enter into Christ, we encourage you to do that this Lord's Day, this very morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're on your way there. You need to repent. We need to hear your confession. You need to let us baptize you into Christ for the remission of sins. If you've done that, but you become unfaithful to the Lord, you need to come back through repentance, confession, and prayer. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward. Let's together we stand and sing.